Good Monday. Today is March the 10th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to start off today taking a look at fertilizer prices, but then we're going to spend some time later today and the rest of the week taking a look at the events that went on out at Commodity Classic 2025 in Denver, Colorado. I was there earlier in the week, and we're going to visit with Jenna Fritz. She's a Michigan farmer serving as president of the U.S. Soybean Export Council. We'll be back with that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Fertilizer prices making agricultural headlines as UAN 28 and urea lead fertilizer prices moving higher now. Now, retail prices tracked by DTN for the fourth week of February showed that all fertilizers are more expensive compared to where they were a month ago. For the first time in this recent price move, all eight fertilizers are now higher. Looking back a month ago, UAN 28 was 8% higher compared to last month with an average price of $350 a ton. Urea was 6% more expensive with an average price of $564 a ton, and the remaining six other fertilizers were slightly more expensive looking back a month. DAP had an average price of $764 a ton, MAP was $810 a ton, potash $446 a ton, while 10-34-0 was $642 a ton, anhydrous ammonia was $751 a ton, and UAN 32 came in at $397 per ton. Now, if you break all those down on a price per pound unit nitrogen basis, the average urea price was 59 cents per pound unit nitrogen, anhydrous ammonia was 46 cents a pound, UAN 28 was 63 cents per pound unit nitrogen, and UAN 32 was 62 cents a pound unit nitrogen. Now, looking back a year, five fertilizers are now higher in price compared to where they were last year at this time. Both DAP and UAN 32 are 1% higher, and urea is 2% more expensive, while UAN 28 is 3% higher, and 10-34-0 is 4% more expensive looking back a year. The other three fertilizer prices, though, are slightly lower. MAP is 1% less expensive than a year ago, with anhydrous ammonia down 2%. Potash is 12% less expensive compared to last year. Now, if we take a look at what's going on in the industry and with the administration, the Fertilizer Institute remains committed to working with the Trump administration to promote a strong fertilizer industry that supports U.S. farmers. That, according to their president and CEO, Corey Rosenbusch, the Fertilizer Institute continues to urge the administration to provide a strategic carve-out for Canadian fertilizers from tariffs, which did take effect on Tuesday of this past week. Now, today, 85% of our potash imports come from Canada, Rosenbusch said. Potash is an irreplaceable component of modern agricultural production, and the U.S. has historically sourced nearly all the potash used by farmers from international markets. Additionally, Canada supplies U.S. growers with nearly 10% of their nitrogen fertilizer needs, that accounting for 25% of the total nitrogen fertilizer imports, and nearly 20% of sulfur used by U.S. farmers and others. The Fertilizer Institute said an open, fair, predictable, and transparent trade environment between the U.S. and Canada is vital to supporting a strong, competitive fertilizer industry that meets the needs of American growers. Restrictions on this critical cross-border trade will drive up costs for farmers, which could ultimately be felt in the grocery store by consumers. And the Fertilizer Institute recognizes that these tariffs are part of a broader policy agenda, and they encourage ongoing dialogue between the U.S. and Canada, Rosenbusch said. They thank President Trump for his continued engagement with the fertilizer industry and the ag community, and remain committed to working with the administration and Congress to ensure long-term security and stability for the U.S. fertilizer supply chain. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
I'm joined today by Jenna Fritz, and we are at Commodity Classic. Jenna, big honor as you were just elected as president of the Soybean Export Council and a Michigan native. Tell us a little bit about your background in agriculture in the state of Michigan.
Correct. Thank you, Dusty. Yep. So Jenna Fritz, I am a part of a sixth-generation farming operation in the Thumb of Michigan. My husband is the sixth-generation farmer, but we've been together now 20 years, so it counts. Yes, indeed. The operation is widely diversified. We're soybeans, corn, dry edible beans, wheat, and triticale for seed purposes. About 1,200 acres, and just very happy to be a part of the agriculture industry. You know, if you're asking about my background, I didn't grow up on a farm. And part of what makes me love this industry so much is every day that I'm in it, I learn something new. And I'd like to take what I learn day by day and explain it or help others to learn day by day what there is to know about the agriculture industry. That's why I'm so passionate to be involved and a part of the Soybean Export Council now.
Well, obviously, so many things to do on a sixth-generation farm. To take time away from that, to be involved in commodity organizations is a huge commitment, especially at this level. What got you the bug to get started with that?
Yeah. So I was originally involved with the Michigan Soybean Committee. Actually, I served as a staff member of the Michigan Soybean Committee. Yes, I in full-time off-farm job working in associations as part of my career past. And then when I transitioned into another career position, I was able to join as a farmer leader. That brought me to the American Soybean Association as a policy advocate, primarily working in Washington, D.C. on behalf of ASA. And then the ASA leadership blessed me with the honor of being a part of the USEC board. So after now 2 years and serving in second vice chair and vice chair roles, they've honored me with the role of chairman. And I'm super excited to be the lead advocate for the soybean industry internationally, right? This is a great time. And even in light of some uncertainty in international markets these days, it is a great opportunity for us to promote U.S. soy around the globe.
Absolutely. Well, that's really neat that you've really seen both sides of the table, if you will, both as a staffer and as a farmer member. I guess a question I would have is, as you look at, and you alluded to some of the challenges and uncertainty out there, just the importance for farmers to know how their checkoff dollars are really going to further this work that really makes a big impact.
Exactly right. And coming from the staff side and also being a farmer member, recognizing that there's always the first question we receive from farmers is, what is my return on investment for investing in the checkoff? Our CEO, Jim Sutter, has actually done a great job of coining the OPM, other people's money phrase. Right? We are not working with our own money. We're working with other farmers' money. So we want to be the key stewards and ensure that our dollars are being used to the best way possible. The research shows that investment in international marketing returns the value to the soybean farmer in expanding the markets and elevating that opportunity for U.S. soy around the globe. So as much as we can have that direct impact in telling our story to create that opportunity for U.S. soy, in my mind, that's a great opportunity for that elevation and that return on investment for soybean farmers.
So in the different roles you've had, you've seen the successes and challenges up to this point. What's maybe one goal you have as we look ahead to 2025?
I think the biggest goal I could say for the organization is to continue our vast collaborations. We have done a great job in our history of collaborating with organizations within the soy family, including our ASA partners and our USB partners, but then also with others around the globe, U.S. Wheat Associates, U.S. Grains Council, USMEF, USAPEAT, all of these entities that are telling the same story about U.S. agriculture in different ways. We can collaborate. We can continue to tell the overall agricultural mission and the opportunity to international buyers. And those collaborations are strong today, and we want to just ensure that they continue for many, many years to come.
Sound like some great ways to add value for the American soybean farmer. Well, again, my guest today is Jana Fritz, and she is a farmer from Bad Axe, Michigan, and just elected as president of the U.S. Soybean Export Council. Jana, thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much for the time, Dusty.
That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.